Okay, we're back to Project Independence and You on 88.1 FM WCWP. My co-host for the rest of the morning here is Sari Flesh, who was just speaking, who is also an employment specialist, and will be doing that program on March 11th. And right now, we have Matt Tamaris, who is here from the town of North Hempstead. And Matt is the Deputy Director of the Emergency Management and CERT. He is also a CERT instructor. I'm going to start it off by asking you what a CERT instructor is.
Thanks, John. CERT is a program that gets actually the residents involved. And obviously, that's a program where we don't have all of the resources in the town of North Hempstead if there's an emergency.
Okay.
And that brings local residents involved. And someone who's certified in CERT has been certified in emergency management. They actually may be the first people on the scene. And then they'll coordinate with the fire department, the police, or whatever emergency service personnel show up and follow what's called the incident command structure. Being a CERT instructor means that when a CERT group is set up, I'm the one who is able to go out there, teach them the basic emergency management concepts, and give them the structure so that they could react if a CERT team is activated.
Okay. Terrific. The other main thing, of course, for the emergency management for the town of North Hempstead is during the course of everyday life when things go bad. Currently, we're dealing with a lot of snow. We've had major storms, etc. I know the 311 center was taken over 2 years ago, I think. Yeah, it was 2 years ago with Sandy already.
Correct.
Let's talk about a resident in the town.
Mm-hmm.
First steps in, you know, something is going wrong. And what defines what's going wrong? I mean, obviously a storm that closes down the streets is one thing. Does emergency management get involved if there's a gas thing, a gas situation in somebody's home or something like that?
Yes, and there's the short answer and a long answer.
Okay, that's fine. Give us both.
my job function really is to plan for and develop our plan for natural and man-made disasters.
Okay.
So that could encompass everything. It could encompass a train derailment. It could be a snowstorm, as you mentioned. It could be our active shooter plan. So it really is anything you could imagine that could go wrong.
Okay.
We develop a plan and a process and a procedure for that. There's four pillars, really, of emergency management. One of them is obviously preparedness,
okay,
which is one of the things I want to talk about today with regards to senior population. Obviously, you also have mitigation, which is some of the stuff we do before and after an event to make sure that doesn't happen again. We sometimes notice that we have weaknesses. A shoreline might have not have been protected well enough. Buildings weren't built to a certain code or whatever. So part of the mitigation process would be, what do we do so that doesn't
going
happen?
Going forward. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Going forward so it doesn't happen again. Then obviously—
I'm just going to interrupt for 1 second. Would you also wind up then working with the building department? And the reason I'm asking that is, remember 2 months ago that apartment complex that burned down in New Jersey with 250 families out, and then the concept was either the plywood or something wasn't up to code?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's all part of the plan. If we notice certain issues, correct, we're going to work with the building department. It's not as easy as just say, hey, tomorrow I want to change the code.
Right,
obviously,
of course. Okay.
Obviously, if we can change the code, we will change the code. We have had emergencies in the past that's brought to light some construction materials such as truss construction. And there's a lot of buildings now built with what's called truss construction.
Which is?
It's called lightweight truss. And what that's doing, if you notice a lot of the modern buildings, it allows you to, it's manufactured wood that allows you to build over a larger expanse. So in the old days, they used to always talk about load-bearing walls.
Right, that I know.
And,
okay,
you
know, that I've heard.
You couldn't have an opening larger than, you know, 10 or 12 feet, depending, because that's what the beams you were buying.
Right.
Now truss construction allows you to build more of those open floor plans.
Okay.
The problem is the way that's manufactured, it gets very weak in fire. Very strong in a non-fire situation.
Oh.
Very weak in a fire situation. So we've had a number of incidents in the past year in the town of North Hempstead where buildings have collapsed and stuff of that nature. And so the fire service, and working with the building department, we all of a sudden decided we need, if we can't change and we can't stop them from building that way, we at least need notification procedures. We at least need a process. Let's have an indication that this building is
okay,
trust, so that when the firemen go in there, they're safe.
That's true, too. You're not paying the consequence of a situation like that is even worse. They
correct.
Go in to do something, not realizing how the building was built, and it's on top of them.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And the two other components we didn't discuss was response and recovery. And response is, as we discussed, if you said the fire department in that situation,
right.
How we're going to react to a situation, what we're going to do, how we're going to operate. And then recovery is once the event is over, you know, that's the rebuilding process. You know,
right.
For all intents and purposes, in a lot of communities, they're still in the recovery process with regards to Sandy. So recovery isn't 2 days.
Right.
Recovery could be, as we're seeing in this situation, could be years.
Right. And the recovery is not only rebuilding, it's rebuilding it for the future. You're not putting back the same structure because it came down once. We have to figure out how we improve it for the next generation, so to speak.
Well, now we're getting back into mitigation.
Okay. But let's move all the way back to preparedness.
I appreciate that.
And the function of emergency management here in the town of North Hempstead for our seniors. And I know there is an emergency notification system, which I really don't know what it is.
Okay. Our emergency notification system is SWIFT 911. And truthfully, everybody should sign up for it, not just the senior population, but especially the senior population.
No, and I'm just sorry. That's the whole phone number is SWIFT 911, dial the whole thing?
No.
Oh.
That's what we call it. And they don't dial in, we're going to dial out.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
So the way you access that and sign up for that is obviously you could call our 311 system.
Okay.
And they'll walk you through the process. But you could also go to our website, northhempstead.com. And if you look on the website, on the right-hand side, there's going to be, I call them hot topics, hot buttons. You're going to see one of them will say SWIFT 911.
Okay.
And that's our emergency contact. If you click on that, it will bring you to the registration page. The advantage of signing up for that is you will get all of our emergency notifications. And those emergency notifications are going to be pertinent to the town of North Hempstead. You know, as much as New Jersey's a nice neighbor of ours.
Right, okay.
You know, if something's going on in New Jersey, we're not going to notify and use that system to notify you that something's going on in New Jersey. If it will impact the town of North Hempstead, we most certainly will. But that notification system is strictly for the town of North Hempstead residents pertaining to emergency situations in the town of North Hempstead. And it may just be simple notification, such as when we're having a snowstorm, making people aware that we are going to have the snowstorm. It is going to be a major snowstorm. And what to do, you know, in the snowstorm so that it allows us to better, you know, clear the streets so that we could better respond to emergencies going forward. And if you need something, you know, how to get in contact or for opening warming centers or shelters or whatever the case may be. But we'll send that out in a notification. We'll send it out via landline. We'll send it out via cell phone. We'll send it out via text. We'll send it out via email. As much information as you give us, we'll do that, and we'll send it out whatever way you tell us to.
Would you send that out to an adult child?
Of course.
I mean, in another state?
Of course.
Okay, because I'm not paying attention. If I'm in Florida, all of a sudden there's a storm. I didn't pay attention, but my mother's up here, and now it's too late to have made a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I actually, for the senior population, I like that. As far as another contact number,
mm-hmm.
put that. And what's the worst case scenario if their child knows that there's a snowstorm, a fire, their road's going to be closed because right. of a water main break or whatever the situation? But it also prompts them to check on their parent.
Right,
which
exactly.
Is,
that's
which, as far as emergency
unfortunately, that might be the only call they get this month. I mean, if they think something's wrong on, you know.
But that's very important.
Right.
And it's extremely important, A, to develop your own personal plan, because the response may not come as quickly as you want the response to come.
Right.
But it's also extremely important to develop that support network and work with people in your community and start, you know, neighbor helping neighbor and everything else. And that keeps everyone abreast, because people naturally assume, oh, they'll call me if they need help. You know, if they fall down, if they slip, if they panic, people people do weird things when they panic.
Right, right.
And that's why I like the plan. You know, develop your plan. And depending on your ability, especially the senior population, the plan may be, if it's going to be a major event, I call a ambulance service and I get transported to a medical facility.
Okay.
Or the plan may be, I'm going to stay at home. I'm going to take care of my stuff. I'm going to create my kit. I'm going to do everything in my power to be self-sufficient for 3 days. And that really depends on each person's individual abilities. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, if you don't think about it and practice it and it becomes a panic situation, you're going to forget things.
Right.
And the one thing you forget might be the important thing. And that's why it's very important to have your network. And it doesn't hurt. It's just a friendly call.
Right. Mike, I think it's tremendous.
And you'd be surprised the impact it can have.
Right.
And there's been many situations where people in dire need were found because, you know, somebody checked up on it.
Right, right.
Or someone said, this doesn't look right. Gee, she normally gets her paper at 6 a.m. every morning, and it's 10 o'clock and the paper's sitting there.
Okay.
What's going on?
Right. And what you're saying, almost go back to what Sari was saying earlier, it's a fear-based decision. So you have to practice. You have to practice for an interview. You have to, because when it finally hits you, something, whether it's a snowstorm, whatever it is, and you're not prepared for it, it's so much worse than saying, here's my plan. I know that if this happens, I'll call my son, I'll call my daughter, I can call 311, but I'm not going to go crazy because I have my supplies and I have, you know, you're prepared.
Exactly.
Bottom line, what you're talking about, it's preparedness.
Exactly. If you're thrown out of your norm, I mean, every day you get up, you brush your teeth, you do your normal routine. You could do it if you're tired. You could do it if you're alert. It's your normal routine. You're on autopilot.
Right.
Anytime there's an emergency, you're thrown off of autopilot. And
right.
When you're thrown off of autopilot, you're not sure how you're going to react. I'm not sure how I'm going to react personally. And that's why in the fire service.
Why are you here? I thought you were going to teach us.
Well, I have my plan. But if I didn't have a plan, I wouldn't know how I'm going to react.
No, of course, I agree.
But that's why the fire service, they practice.
Mm-hmm.
They have their, biweekly drills. They go out and they practice and they practice, they practice. Do they have a fire every day? No.
Right,
some departments do, but, the majority of the fires in our area don't. But they go out and they practice, and that's because when the situation happens, they want to react in the proper way.
Right.
Can I ask you a question? You just mentioned if a senior has a newspaper sitting outside and they don't pick it up at 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock, it's still sitting there. What kind of staff do you have? Because to get that person, knock on their door. Because some streets have new people or people that are not interested in the mature person that's sitting in that house by themselves.
Mm-hmm. I mean, emergency management doesn't have a system in that we say, hey, you must, call this person.
Right.
You must. But the town of North Hempstead has tremendous resources. And Project Independence has tremendous resources. And
you know what we're going to do? That's a great question. And we're going to go into a break, so it makes more sense as opposed to starting it completely and having to cut it off. You're listening to Project Independence U on 88.1 FM, WCWP. We're going to be right back with Sari and Matt, and we'll finalize that answer, and we'll go forward with preparedness for seniors. Thank you.